Evening, everyone. For the benefit of anyone out there who doesn't know who I am, and I don't think there are many, I recognise most of the faces out there, I'm Harvey Leach. I'm the lay chair of the Parochial Church Council, and it's my joy, delight, duty, whichever I choose or you think, to conduct the formal part of the meeting. So the formal part of the meeting is actually two meetings. Due to the interesting way the Church of England organises itself, there is a meeting called the Annual Meeting of Parishioners, at which we elect church wardens. Every year, the people who are church warden for the previous year step down and we elect two new church wardens. This year, those standing for election are James and Jerry, who are the church wardens that we've had before. And we need to do this bit of the meeting quickly because this is the very brief moment of time when they can decide, actually, maybe we don't want to do it again and we can run away. But they won't. So anyway, on to the election. We have two nominations for church warden, James Webster and Jerry Waite. And since we only require two church wardens, we can declare them duly elected. Right, that concludes the annual meeting of parishioners. We now move on to the formal bit, the annual parochial church meeting. First item of business is the minutes of the last meeting. The minutes have been available on the website. There have been some hard copies around, so hopefully people have had a chance to read them. What we've decided to do this year is have an open session of questions at the end. So where it says item 9 on the agenda, for those who've got the agenda, we'll take all questions at that point. So Malcolm and I had this debate. Apparently we don't need to sign the minutes on the grounds that a lot of the people who were here last year might not be here this year, and a lot of people who are here this year weren't here last year. So second thing, report on the numbers on the new electoral roll. And before we report on the numbers, I'd just like to give a huge shout out to Julia, who worked incredibly hard to put the electoral roll together. Because for 6 years we just do updates. Every sixth year we have to do a completely new role, and Julia's worked really hard at that. So we have a report on the numbers. Do you want to report the numbers, or shall Malcolm report the numbers? Malcolm's going to report the numbers. I'll hold the microphone for Malcolm.
Thank you. There are now 246 members on the new electoral roll. 246.
There are 246 people on the electoral roll. We have received the report. And there's a split between those in the parish and not in the parish, Malcolm, I think, somewhere, isn't there? Yes. 101. A resident. 145. Are non-resident. There we go. That concludes the report on the electoral roll. Annual report on the financial statements of the PCC for 2018. The accounts and so on printed were made available. For this one, Keith and Ali are both going to share a few words. Keith's coming up first, briefly, and then Ali's got a couple of pictures.
Evening. I'm Keith Harwood. I'm the church treasurer, which I've been doing for quite a few years now. Forgive me if this seems like I'm reading some of this, but there's quite a few numbers involved, so I will need to keep referring to the bit of paper. Right, so 2018 was quite a steady year that allowed us to consolidate our finances after a pretty difficult 2017. I tend to talk in terms of unrestricted income because the restricted stuff takes care of itself in some ways, but because you can't spend what you haven't got. So the general unrestricted income was 16% higher in 2018 than in the previous year due to an increase in regular giving. During the course of the year, 7 standing orders were cancelled or decreased, 17 new standard orders were received, and 10 existing standard orders were increased. The overall result was that our regular giving showed a steady upward trend throughout the year. As usual, we were able to gift 10% of our general income as a tithe, which is some £26,000, and that goes to various home and overseas missions and social charities. There is an error in the annual report on page 5. There's a figure of 9,145. And that should read 19,647. No one picked that up, not even the financial examiner. So, right. Now, you may say that £19,000 isn't 10% of £26,000, but we carried over £12,000 in the tithe fund into this year because we didn't actually pay it out. So what we should really say is that we give away 10% of our income, but not necessarily in the year we receive it. So anyway, I'm meeting with the mission subgroup in 2 weeks' time to try and move this backlog of funds onto organisations that can use it, because it's not doing anyone any good in our bank account. One issue we have had, we've had difficulty getting money to Burundi, where we have several partner organisations. Our last two bank transfers have been returned. We think we've now found a way to get money to our partners in Burundi. One transfer is in progress at the moment, and we're praying that it goes through successfully. On the expenditure front, one of the largest items is parish share, which is just over £71,000. The only church in the deanery that has a higher parish share than COGS is the Whitney Team Ministry, which actually consists of four churches. As an individual church, COGS has by far the highest parish share in the deanery. However, this money is used to pay the diocese to cover Simon's salary, housing and pension, and Rich's salary and pension. And also some of it's used to by the diocese to cover training and support the wider church community. So I think it represents reasonable value for money. right. Okay. There. I don't know. Well, let Simon justify himself later. If you're really into sort of balance sheets and things like that, then there's been an increase of £63,000 on the balance sheet. But this is largely due to restricted funds for the roof repairs that are sitting in the bank. When this is spent, the balance sheet will go down, as the church and the items in it cannot be listed as assets. That's unlike the church centre refurbishment of the toilets and the kitchen, which did go onto the balance sheet as assets in 2017. Right. At the end of 2017, the PCC set an unrestricted fund deficit of £6,000 now for 2018. Now, Bishop Colin actually recommends that you set a deficit budget and do that in faith. We ended up with a £6,000 surplus. This goes some way to topping up our reserves, but they're still only 60% of what they should be. However, once we get the restraining order on Simon, we should be able to increase those a bit. Although, having said that, Simon's theory that the more people that a church employs, the more it grows, does seem to be bearing fruit. We have sufficient cash funds available to meet the going concern criteria that the Charity Commission have introduced for larger charities, and we are close to being a larger charity. The Finance Committee reviews income and expenditure on a monthly basis to keep an oversight of the financial status of the church. Finally, I'd like to thank Jen Osman, who does all the banking and of the plate collections, and for her work as gift aid secretary. But before I go, I'd like to leap into this year. I hope that you've all now heard about the parish giving scheme. So far, 37 out of our 125 regular givers have switched to this. Not only is it a very good scheme, it's efficient, but it makes my job as treasurer a lot easier. I'm not sure how many of you actually check your bank statements every month, but it can be a time-consuming thing. The main church banks, we've got five bank accounts, the main church bank statement has 14 pages of transactions for me to check every month, and if it's a penny out, I have to do it all over again. If the regular givers were to switch to the scheme, the bank statement would be half this size and make my job a lot easier. So if you're one of the 88 donors who haven't signed up, please take pity on me and switch to parish giving. These forms are by the door, so I'd encourage you to do that, because it doesn't cost us anything. 100% of your donation comes through to the church very quickly, gift aid as well. Instead of waiting 3 months for gift aid, we get it every month, which helps cash flow. So I'll put them back by the door, And I'll now hand over to Alistair to show you more about long-term trends.
Thank you, Keith. So just to introduce myself for those who don't know me, so I'm Ali or Alistair, so I lead the finance subgroup here at COGS. So thanks very much to Keith for talking through the finances. I thought it would be helpful for us to actually just look at the trends over the past few years, just so that you can actually see a little bit more visually the direction of travel for the church and what we've actually been doing with that money. So if I could just have the first graph, please. And you'd be pleased to know that I'm only going to be here for a few minutes, so I won't bore you too much, hopefully. Right, so first of all, just in terms of the income, there's three. I want to just quickly just try and explain the different types of income that we receive. Okay, so we've heard about unrestricted income. So basically, that is the regular giving that you all give to the church without any specific purpose. So in other words, the church has the ability to use that as it sees fit for the general church activities. We also have designated income. So this is income that is set aside for a specific purpose. So, for example, the tithe funds that we give away, as Keith was explaining. So we aim to give 10% of our income away. And there's also restricted income. And this is this is money which is collected for specific causes. So examples of that would be the church centre fund, the roof project, etc. And we have to keep that money separate so that we can only use it specifically for that purpose, as you would expect us to do. And therefore, it cannot be available and used for the day-to-day activities of the church. So the reason why I've shown over the last few years all three of those is because things like the restricted and designated incomes will obviously fluctuate from time to time, depending on the various projects that we are looking at. But here you can see that I suppose the important one for us to look at really is the unrestricted income, which is shown in the red line, which shows an uptrend over the years, and also the blue line then, which pulls everything together. So you can see roughly where we are now. So can I have the next slide, please? So what I've then looked to do is to just take out the unrestricted income and show that over time against the day-to-day expenditure of the church. So this is the expenditure in relation to looking after the church's activities. It's not the tithe income, and it's not looking at any of the expenditure on specific projects and things. So what we'd expect to see here is that as we have increased regular giving coming in, that we're actually spending that on the activities of the church to help grow. So as you can see, for some years it would be in deficit, and some years we would be in surplus. But generally speaking, what we want to try and make sure in the finance team is that those are tracking along the same lines and hopefully upward trends going forward. Okay, next slide, please. And finally, I thought it'd just be helpful to see the pattern of our tithe income over the last few years. So again, if you look at this, you can see a number of years ago, we were giving away just shy of 15,000 a year. And as you've heard today, it's more like sort of 26,000 odd. And where does that go? I suppose the three key areas, really. So it's overseas mission, home mission, and home relief. And we have a specific group who look after where that money actually goes and how it gets spent. I hope that's been helpful. That's just a whistle-stop tour, just to, like I say, give you an indication of trends over time. So thank you.
Great. Thank you to Ali and Keith. And again, if you've got any questions, we'll take those when we get to item 9. But hopefully that's given you a good visibility. I like pictures rather than numbers. They make more sense to me anyway. So hopefully that did to most of you too. Next thing is to receive a report on the proceedings of Deanery Synod, which again was available. Sorry. I've missed the church warden, so I have. I'm racing ahead, sorry. To receive the church warden's report on the fabric goods and ornaments of the church.
There's a report online if you want to read that, but that's not really what I wanted to say. It's great being a church warden and just having this opportunity to really to thank people. And we've heard ourselves talked about as a charity, we're looking at our kind of finance there in a kind of business-like style. And we've talked about being the official title of meeting as church, what was it, something or other. But I prefer the phrase that Paul uses, his favourite way of describing us, is as a body. And so there's lots of people here who've got jobs and they serve in the church in ways that are visible and are seen. But we're just really aware that there are, almost everybody here is participating in that body in some other way as well. And so if you could, if you're happy to stand or if you're happy to carry on seating, we'd just like to kind of pray for one another and really just thank you all for what's been going on here. So yeah, if you're happy to stand, if you'd like to stand, briefly just look at the people on your row in front and behind you, because I just want you to just pray silently, but pray for the other parts of your body, the body here, the church. And let's just be thankful for them. If you don't know who they are or what their name is, then describe them to God and just pray. We'll just do this for a second. Father, we do thank you that we are one body. We are one body here in COGS. We are part of your body of believers here in Whitney and throughout the world. Father, we just want to thank you for the role that so many people here play in contributing to this church. Father, we especially thank you for Simon and Sue and for their ongoing commitment. But Father, we just want to lift up everyone here and those who can't be here tonight. We thank you for them and we thank you for what you're doing here. Amen.
Yes. Okay, and I think at this point, I should have done it earlier, but I didn't, was to just say a huge thanks on our behalf to James and to Jerry for all the work that they do. It's, you know, church warden is an incredibly demanding role, and they do an awful lot on our behalf. So thank you both very much. As I said before, somebody reminded me I'd missed James's bit out. Just draw your attention to the report on the proceedings of Deanery Synod, which was available for download and I think was in the pack as well. And any questions, again, will be at item 9. And we move on to the main event of this section, which is the election of 4 members of the laity, that's us ordinary types, to membership of the PCC. And there are 4 vacancies this year. So every year, we are the nominal number of elected representatives on PCC is 12. A third of them step down every year, so we have 4 vacancies. And as has been the pattern of recent years, we have 4 people standing. So we don't need an election. So I hereby declare Malcolm, Keith, stand up if you would. Just well, Keith, Matt, go on, stand up. I want to stand. Joe. And I've forgotten who the 4th one is. Andrew, of course. So Andrew will be new to the PCC. Joe was co-opted after last year's APCM. Malcolm and Keith, as you know, have been on the PCC forever. And have agreed to stand again. So I think I declare those 4 people duly elected. I should also have mentioned, by the way, under the Deanery Synod report, that Ben Osman has decided to stand down from being a Deanery Synod rep, which creates a casual vacancy, but we do have someone who is willing to take on that role, and they will be elected by the PCC at its next meeting. So, onwards. Formally, according to Church of England rules, the next item is appointment of sidesmen, but actually, we decided a long time ago to give that job to the church wardens as if they haven't got enough to do. So we don't actually need to do that bit of the agenda. Next piece is that we have to appoint the independent financial examiner for our accounts for 2019. This is the one bit you probably do get to vote on, and I hope you don't say no because it'll make Keith and Ali's job really hard, is that we propose appointing AJ Carter & Co., as our independent financial examiners, please would you indicate that you are okay with this? Thank you very much. You're okay, guys. Okay. So, item 9, questions or comments on matters of parochial interest or anything else that's been said? Yes. So I'm going to wander around with the mic for anybody who's got a question. So if you have a question, please would you indicate, and I will get to you with the mic so everybody can hear it. And depending on who it is, I'll then run across to Jerry or James or Keith or whatever so they can answer the question. Mary Lou, we've got a question. Hey.
This just goes along with what John was saying about the PCC. Yeah. Because at the last year's meeting, I think it was mentioned that we would put something up to see if we could find somewhere to put up all the people who are on the PCC, put up on a notice board. Did I read that correctly?
I don't remember. Yeah? It was in the minutes. Ooh, we didn't do it. Anybody got anything to respond on that one? That would probably be Judy.
I haven't done it. I'm sorry. We do have all the information and it is all going to go onto the website. There's been lots of discussions around some of our communications and things, and just keeping things up to date is quite tricky at times. So the latest is that everybody will have their photos when we get their permission. They're all going to have their photos taken at their away day, which they don't know about that yet. And then all the information will be put up on the website, Mary Lou. Okay.
Thanks, Mary Lou. Thanks, Judy. Anybody got any other questions? Yes, Ro.
Apologies, I may have missed this earlier, but I just, as a newbie relatively to the meetings, I just wonder what the parish share does, who it goes to, what it's spent on. Is that?
So the parish share is a mystery, basically. What happens, I'm going to try and explain this, and if anybody has better understanding than me, chip in. But we are in a deanery of, I'm not quite sure how many churches, about a dozen churches, so over to Burford, up to North Lee, South Lee, the Shield Valley churches, Carterton. We're in a deanery together, and the diocese asks the deanery for each deanery to give a share towards the diocese. So the deanery then have to work out how much each church gives in the deanery. Actually, I tell you, we've got the deanery chat. Isn't the deanery? Did I spot the deanery treasurer here? Yes. You know this more than me, David. How was I doing? I'm happy to continue, David, but if I get it wrong, David's going to correct me because he is the deanery treasurer. So,
yeah, so he knows where it goes.
There are formulas that are sent down from the diocese. You can just correct me if I get it wrong, David, if I get it majorly wrong. There are formulas sent down from the diocese that the deanery then use to work out how much each church should give. And the share that we give, as Keith said, it goes towards my salary and housing. It goes to Rich's salary when you have a curate. It goes towards their salary as well. It goes to a part goes to the National Church for training of new curates. There's other elements in there, so it's quite how it's split up is a bit of a mystery. Suffice to say, neither Rich or I get all of it. I mean, I think, David, unless there's anything particularly that needs adding, it is complicated. It is sometimes a thing of contention because some churches struggle to pay the share that they've been given and other churches are seen by other churches being able to pay more. And actually some churches sometimes say, well, we will pay more because we can pay more because it's going to the wider church as well. And so this is the way we do it in the Oxford Diocese. In some diocese, they say to their churches, pay what you can pay. And some pay generous, and some are less generous. So it's not an easily explained thing. But I hope that gives you a bit more of an idea. Is that okay? Dave, don't go long on the deanery share.
That's essentially it. There is a complex formula, and it's all based on certain factors. One of the factors that's involved is the relative wealth of the area. Yeah. And Oxfordshire is one of the wealthiest areas in the country. But the other thing is, the Oxford Diocese is one of the wealthiest dioceses in the Church of England. And about 25% of the budget comes from glebe income. So if it wasn't for this glebe income, the parish share would be much higher. Okay? And all the other factor is, one of the major staff costs is pensions. Currently, the pension cost is 39.9% of salary. Or stipend, I should say.
Yes, we have got some of those here. And and I should say as well, actually, in terms of David saying that, I have a friend who is in another diocese, so I won't say which one, and his parish share is something like 140,000. And again, and ours is 79. So it does depend on what area of the country you're in as well. So, yeah. Thank you.
For those who wonder what David meant when he said glebe income, that's the investments, land, housing, that stuff. Jean?
I was just wondering whether it is worth, since we've got so many new people, to have some sort of information sheet just to describe how things are done in the church, in the deanery, in the diocese. Because people do ask, but they don't always know where to go.
Yeah, I think we did put a sheet together for last year, which we did say people could download, which explained the PCC and how it fits into the deanery. Harvey spent quite a bit of time on it.
Yeah.
And that was available with this year's documents. But we can update it and put something in about deanery share, parish share as well. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's all available because it was available for tonight. So it is all available. It is there. It's just right. Just needs downloading.
Great. Okay. So, Jill's got one.
Yeah. Hello. Sorry, don't know whether this question overlaps yours, Jean. It's about connect groups, communication. We had, when we first came, a sort of little booklet or leaflet, hard copy about all the connects groups and their different flavours, so a visitor could just pick it up and get an overall flavour. Now, I expect you would say it's all on the web, on the church website, but some people, it's often easier to give you somebody a hard copy. Would this be possible to think about?
Simon. Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think that the whole thing, and I'll be saying something about this, is, you know, in terms of communication, we have got a team working on this, and we are trying to do more on that. So, yeah, certainly we want people to know. Rich? It's all in the welcome pack as well. So when we give anyone a welcome pack, all the information about Connect Groups is in the welcome pack. So we do have the information. Thank you, Rich.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you, everybody. That's great. If you've got any other questions, catch Simon or me or somebody during the cheese and wine, and we'll do our best to point you in the right direction. So I'm going to hand back over to Simon now. Who's going to commission the PCC and then lead us into the next part of the evening.
Okay. Thank you. So if I could ask PCC members to stand if they are here. So we have Stuart Allen. Stuart, if you just want to turn around and wave. Stuart Harrison. You have to be called Stuart to be part of the PCC. Harvey Leach.
I'm not called Stuart.
Laura Lewis, I think it's back there. Andy Bailey, I'm not sure Andy's here tonight. Ali Lathwaite has sent her apologies, she's unwell. Eddie Lyle has sent his apologies, he's in Scotland. Heather McCulloch has sent her apologies, she's babysitting because Andy's doing Alpha. Ali Wild, our new rep is Andrew Newham. And then we've got Keith and Malcolm. And who else did we just re-elect? Joe. And Joe? And then Deanery Synod reps, if the Deanery Synod reps are standing as well, we have Elizabeth and Barbara and Jane Harper, and Kirsty Morgan over here. And at this point, I should probably announce that Kirsty Morgan is the new lay chair of the Deanery Synod. Oh, yeah. So this is your PCC. Ex officio, which means that they're not elected on, are clergy. So, Rich, if you could stand as well. Rich is also a member of the PCC. We are going to pray for our PCC now. I thank you for every member of our PCC. Thank you that they're willing to stand, that they're wanting to help to lead the church. We pray for them, pray for inspiration, pray for us as a team, that we would work well together, that we would challenge each other, encourage each other, and that together we would lead this church and this community in the direction that you want it to go. Father, thank you for every one of them. I pray for more of your anointing upon them and pray that you would bless them mightily in this role. Amen.